Good morning and welcome to Claude Daily. I'm Alex and it is Wednesday, April 15th, 2026. Tax day for our American listeners. So if you haven't filed yet, maybe let an AI handle it.
Huh. Actually, not the worst idea, depending on how your year went.
Probably more accurate than some of the returns I've filed myself, honestly. All right, joining me as always is Sam, our resident analyst and the guy who somehow always has three tabs open on his phone even when we're recording.
For today, it's a big news day.
It is a big news day. We've got one story that has been absolutely dominating the conversation in the AI space this morning, and it touches on something that I think a lot of people have been quietly waiting for. This idea of truly seamless handoff between your mobile device and your desktop, with Claude acting as the bridge between them. We're going to dig into that in real depth today.
Yeah, and I want to say up front, when I first read the headline on this, I kind of did a double take, because on the surface it sounds like something we've heard before. Like, oh, you can control your computer remotely. Great. But when you actually dig into the specifics of what's happening here, it's a genuinely different thing. Like, the mechanism underneath is something we haven't really seen executed quite like this.
Exactly. We're going to unpack all of that, so let's just get into it. Okay. So the story we're leading with today is about a feature called Dispatch, and it's part of something called Claude Cowork. And the short version is this. Dispatch lets you send a task from your mobile phone, your iPhone, your Android device, whatever you're carrying around, and Claude takes that task and executes it on your connected desktop computer. We're talking full access to local files, connected applications, your web browser, the whole environment of your desktop handled by Claude, while you're somewhere else entirely.
Right, and that phrase, executes it, is doing a lot of work there, Alex. Because this isn't like a shortcut or a macro. Claude is actually using computer use functionality, which means it's looking at the screen, understanding what's on it, and operating the applications the same way you would. With a mouse, with a keyboard input, navigating menus, clicking through interfaces that were never designed to be automated.
So let's back up for a second for anyone who maybe hasn't been following the computer use story closely. Computer use, when we say that, we mean Claude's ability to literally see a desktop screen and interact with it. Not through an API, not through a specially designed integration. It sees the pixels, it understands what application is open, what buttons are present, and it takes action.
Which is honestly still wild to me. Like, we've had robotic process automation tools for years, right? Things like UiPath or Automation Anywhere. But those work by essentially scripting very specific interactions with very specific applications in very specific states. If something changes, a button moves, a dialog box appears unexpectedly, those traditional tools often just fail or get stuck. What Claude is doing is much more like how a person approaches a computer. There's genuine understanding of context.
And that's the key difference that makes Dispatch interesting. Because you're not pre-programming a workflow. You're describing what you want in plain language, on your phone, and Claude is figuring out the steps on the fly.
Exactly. So you could imagine, and I keep thinking about this scenario. You're on the subway on your way into work. You remember you need to pull together a report from three different spreadsheets that live on your desktop, format it a certain way, and have it ready when you sit down. Before Dispatch, you'd either need to remote desktop in and awkwardly try to do it on your phone screen, which is miserable, or you'd just wait until you got to the office. With Dispatch, you just describe what you need in natural language, and Claude is already working on it by the time you get there.
It's like having a very capable assistant who's already sitting at your desk.
That's exactly the analogy. And I think that's intentional in the naming, right? Cowork. You and Claude are working together, in the same environment, just not at the same time or even necessarily the same place.
Let's talk about what this actually looks like in practice, because I want people to really visualize this. You're on your phone, you open Claude, you're in this Cowork environment, and you type out or speak a task. Something like, go into my downloads folder, find the quarterly summary I was working on last Tuesday, Update the revenue figures in the second tab to match the numbers from the email I got from finance yesterday, and save a PDF version to my desktop. And Claude just does that?
That's the promise, yes. And the reason it can do something, like the email from finance yesterday, is that it has access to connected applications. So if your email client is open or accessible on the desktop, Claude can navigate to it, find the relevant email, pull those numbers, and then go use them in the spreadsheet. It's chaining multiple actions across multiple applications.
Which is, I mean, that's not a trivial thing. That's something that would have taken a pretty sophisticated automation script to do even a year ago. And now you're just describing it conversationally.
And here's what I keep coming back to. It's the locality. The fact that Claude is operating on your actual desktop with your actual local files, with the applications you already use, the way you've already set them up. There's no upload your files to the cloud first step. There's no make sure you have the integration installed. Your desktop is your desktop, and Claude can work in it.
That's a really important point. Because I think one of the persistent frustrations people have had with cloud-based AI workflows is that moment of, okay, but my files are here, on my machine, and getting them into a state where the AI can see them is its own whole project.
Right. There's friction. And friction kills adoption every time. If the on-ramp to using an AI tool is itself a complicated process, most people never get there. Dispatch essentially says, the on-ramp is your phone, it's conversational, and the execution happens where your stuff already lives.
I want to dig into the mobile side of this a bit more, because I think that's actually the more underrated half of what's happening here. We talk a lot about what Claude can do on the desktop, but the fact that the trigger is your phone, that's not incidental, that's kind of the whole point.
Yeah, totally. Think about when you have your best ideas about what needs to get done. It's rarely when you're sitting at your desk. It's when you're in the car, or you're having lunch, or you're lying awake at 3 in the morning, and you suddenly remember that thing you forgot. Your phone is always with you. Your desktop is not.
So the phone becomes the command interface, and the desktop becomes the execution environment. They each do what they're best at.
Exactly. And Claude is the layer that understands the instruction you give on one and carries it out on the other. That's a really elegant division of responsibility. Like, your phone is not great at doing complex work with big files and legacy applications. Your desktop is not always with you. But together, through Claude, they function as one continuous workspace.
I've seen some folks online comparing this to the old Apple handoff feature, where you could start something on your iPhone and pick it up on your Mac. But that's pretty different, isn't it?
Very different. Handoff was, you start reading a web page on your phone, you want to keep reading it on your laptop, so it opens the same web page. It's continuity of a single activity. What Dispatch is doing is more like delegation. You're not saying, I want to continue this task over there. You're saying, go do this task over there and tell me when it's done. You're not even involved in the execution.
Which is actually a more powerful thing, in a lot of ways. Because you're freed from the execution entirely.
Right. And that's what makes it feel qualitatively different from all these other remote control or continuity features we've seen. It's not about giving you access to your desktop from your phone. It's about not needing access. Claude handles it.
Now I want to play devil's advocate for a second, because I think there are some reasonable questions people will have about this. The obvious one is security. If Claude has access to your local files, your applications, your browser, that's a significant level of trust to extend.
Yeah, and I don't think we should gloss over that. This is a real consideration. When you're giving an AI agent the ability to open files, send emails potentially, navigate your browser, you want to understand exactly what guardrails are in place. What can it touch? What can it not touch? Is there confirmation required for certain types of actions? Can it accidentally delete something?
Those are fair questions. And I'd say Anthropic's general approach with computer use has been pretty careful around exactly these kinds of scenarios. There's been a lot of emphasis on Claude being cautious with irreversible actions, not deleting things without confirmation, being conservative when it's uncertain.
And I think the framing of co-work is actually meaningful here, not just marketing. The buzz is that this is a collaborative environment. Claude isn't operating as a fully autonomous agent making big decisions independently. You're assigning tasks and there are checkpoints. It's more like a capable colleague you've asked to handle something than a bot you've released into the wild.
Right. And the fact that you're assigning tasks from your phone means there's always a human in the loop at the initiation stage. You said do this thing. It didn't decide to do it on its own.
That's a really important distinction. The autonomy is scoped. You're authorizing each task, and I'd imagine there are settings around what categories of actions require additional confirmation before Claude proceeds.
I also want to think about who this is for. Because I think there might be a temptation to see this as a power user feature, something for developers or technical folks who are comfortable with AI agents doing things on their behalf. But actually...
No. I'd actually push back on that. I think the opposite might be true. If anything, this could be more intuitive for less technical users precisely because the interface is just conversation. You don't need to know how to set up an automation. You don't need to understand what an API is. You describe what you need in words.
That's a great point. It's the person who knows what they want but doesn't know how to get their computer to do it who benefits most. Because now the translation from intent to action is handled by Claude.
Exactly. Like, I have family members who are genuinely competent, smart people who just find computers deeply frustrating. Not because they lack intelligence, but because computers require you to learn a very specific vocabulary of actions and menus and file structures. Claude speaking that vocabulary on your behalf is actually more democratizing than a lot of the productivity tools marketed to power users.
That's a really important reframe. The feature sounds technical, but the lived experience of using it might actually be simpler than most of what's currently out there.
And think about the populations that could really benefit from that. People who are juggling a lot of cognitive load in their actual work and don't want to spend any of it learning new software. People with accessibility needs, where physically operating a computer interface is difficult. Older workers who are expert in their domain, but never quite got comfortable with the software they're supposed to use.
I hadn't thought about the accessibility angle, but that's really significant. If the interface is tell Claude what you need in plain language, that removes a huge category of barriers.
And it works from a phone, which for a lot of people is actually a more comfortable device than a traditional computer. More people are fluent on mobile than on desktop, globally.
Okay, so let's zoom out a little. Because I think the dispatch feature is interesting on its own, but what it really represents is a bigger trend that's been building for a while. This idea of the AI as a kind of ambient layer that connects your devices, your files, your workflows, not as a separate application you open, but as something that's woven into how everything works together.
Yeah. And I think we're at a really interesting inflection point with that. For the first 2 or 3 years of this generation of AI tools, the primary interface was a chat window. You go to a website, you type a question, you get an answer. Incredibly useful, but still kind of siloed. It's separate from your actual work environment.
Right. It's a tool you consult, not a tool that acts.
Exactly. And what dispatch represents is the shift toward AI that acts, that has access to your actual environment and can do things in it. And once you cross that threshold, once Claude can open your spreadsheet and edit it for you, the nature of the relationship changes. It's not a search engine anymore. It's more like a colleague.
And that colleague metaphor keeps coming back, doesn't it? Co-work. Dispatch. Even the language Anthropic is using around this is very much about collaboration rather than tool use.
Which I think is intentional and smart, because there's a version of this framing that could feel alarming. AI is taking over your computer. AI is doing your work for you. And that framing, while it might generate clicks, creates anxiety and resistance. The colleague framing is much more accurate to the actual experience, and it helps people engage with it constructively.
It also sets more accurate expectations. A colleague can do a lot for you, but you still need to communicate clearly, check their work, and catch it when they misunderstand what you meant.
Yes. And I think that's actually healthy. The expectation that you review what Claude has done, rather than just assuming it's perfect, is the right mental model for where this technology is right now. It's capable enough to save you enormous amounts of time and effort, and it occasionally gets something wrong, and you should know to check.
Let's talk a little bit about the broader ecosystem play here, because Claude Cowork as a product feels like it's staking out a pretty specific piece of territory. There are other players in the AI agent space. We've seen things from Microsoft with their Copilot integration into Windows. Google has been doing similar things with their Gemini-based agents. Where does Dispatch fit relative to those?
It's a really interesting competitive landscape question. The Microsoft play has largely been about integration with Office products specifically. If your world lives in Word, Excel, Teams, Outlook, Copilot is deeply embedded in that ecosystem, and that's very powerful for the users it serves.
But it's also bounded by that ecosystem.
Right. If your workflow involves software outside the Microsoft stack, and plenty of people's does, Copilot's deep integration becomes less relevant. What's compelling about what Anthropic is doing with computer use and Dispatch is that it's application agnostic. Claude doesn't need a special integration with your specific tool. It can operate any application because it operates at the level of the interface itself.
So it's more like a universal remote than a specialized integration.
That's a perfect analogy, actually. And the trade-off that comes with that, because there's always a trade-off, is that a purpose-built integration for, say, Excel will probably be faster and more reliable within Excel than Claude using computer use to navigate Excel. The specialized tool knows the terrain better.
But Claude can go off the beaten path.
Yes. The niche internal tool your company built 5 years ago and never updated, the industry-specific software that has no AI integration and probably never will, Claude can work with those too. And I think for a lot of businesses, that's actually the more important capability.
Because most businesses are not running pure Microsoft stack, pure Google stack, they have this patchwork of tools that accumulated over years, and getting any AI to work across all of them has historically been really hard.
That's exactly right. Enterprise software environments are messy. They always have been. The appeal of a human employee is that they can navigate any software you put in front of them with a little training. Computer use is starting to give Claude that same adaptability.
And Dispatch is the feature that makes that adaptability accessible from wherever you happen to be.
Precisely. It's connecting the capability, computer use, with the use case. I need something done on my desktop, and I'm not there, in a really intuitive way.
I want to come back to something you mentioned earlier about the experience of using this. What do you think the actual moment of first use feels like for someone who hasn't done this before? Like, you've set it up, your desktop is connected, you're on your phone, you type in your first task.
Honestly, I think it's probably one of those moments where the reaction is somewhere between, oh, that's cool, and wait, that actually worked? Because there's a level of, I want to say skepticism, or maybe conditioned disappointment, that a lot of us have developed around technology promises. We've been told things will be seamless and magical, and they're usually fine.
Right. There's a credibility deficit that has to be overcome.
Yeah, and I think with something like Dispatch, the thing that will win people over is the specific moment when it does something that clearly required judgment, not just rule following. Like if you ask it to find a file and it can't locate it exactly where you said it would be, but it makes a reasonable inference about where else it might be and finds it. that moment of, oh, it thought about that, is probably the one that converts people.
The moment it surprises you by being smarter than you expected.
Exactly. And those moments are accumulating. The baseline of what people expect from AI has been moving pretty fast, but I still think there are things Claude can do in this kind of agentic context that will genuinely catch people off guard.
Let's think about this from a workflow design perspective for a second. If you're someone who's thinking about how to integrate dispatch into your actual day, where do you start? What are the obvious first use cases?
I think the sweet spot to start with is tasks that are well-defined but tedious. Things where the steps are clear, there's not a lot of ambiguity about what done looks like, but doing them manually just takes time that you'd rather not spend. File management is a big one. Moving files around, renaming things according to a convention, organizing downloads, generating PDFs, those are tasks where Claude is going to be highly reliable, and the payoff in time saved is immediate.
Yeah. And those aren't glamorous tasks, but they're the ones that eat time silently. You don't notice how much time you spend on them because you do them in little increments.
Right. It's the kind of thing where you don't even think of it as work. It's just friction. And removing that friction has a compounding effect on your day that's hard to fully appreciate until it's gone.
What about riskier territory? Things where the task is less well-defined, where there's more potential for something to go wrong.
I'd be more cautious about tasks that involve sending communications on your behalf, emails, messages, especially to external people, at least until you've built up a pretty solid sense of how Claude interprets your intent. Not because Claude will do something egregiously wrong, but because your communication style is highly personal, and you want to make sure what goes out under your name actually sounds like you.
That makes sense. It's the difference between reorganize my files, where a mistake is very recoverable, versus send this email to my client, where the output is immediately external.
And I'd imagine most people would instinctively apply that same filter, like the irreversibility of an action should affect how much you verify before letting it proceed, which is, again, just good judgment that you'd apply to a human assistant too.
So the analogy holds up in the other direction as well. You'd have a new assistant draft an email for you to review before you sent it. The same principle applies here.
Exactly. And I think that mental model, treat Claude the way you'd treat a capable but still somewhat new colleague, is probably the most useful frame for figuring out how to use these tools well.
All right, let's talk about where this goes next. Because I don't think dispatch is the final form of this idea. This is a step in a direction, and I'm curious where you see it heading.
I think the next step is proactivity. Right now, the model is you send a task, Claude executes it, which is reactive. You have to initiate everything. The natural next question is, what about tasks that Claude could anticipate? Things that happen on a schedule or things Claude notices need to happen based on context.
Like you don't have to tell it to prepare your weekly summary. It just knows to do it on Friday afternoon.
Right. And this is a bit further out. You're in a meeting, you mention offhand that you need to update a document, and Claude, having been part of that meeting context, already started working on it.
Okay, that starts to feel pretty science fiction adjacent.
It does, but the pieces are all there. We have context retention, we have computer use, we have voice interfaces. Putting them together in the way you just described is an engineering and product challenge, but not a fundamental capability gap.
And that's kind of the thing about this moment in AI development, isn't it? The distance between here's a cool demonstration and this is in a product millions of people use has compressed dramatically.
Enormously. The thing that felt like a research paper result 18 months ago is now a shipping feature. And the thing that feels like a speculative future use case today is probably a product announcement in 12 months. The pace is genuinely hard to keep up with.
Which is part of why we do this show. We try to keep track of it so you don't have to track all of it yourself.
And at least you can listen while you're doing something else. Multitasking, even if Claude isn't doing it for you yet.
Huh, not yet. Okay, let me also bring up one dimension of this that I think deserves a moment. The question of how this changes our relationship with our own work. Because there's a version of this future that feels very efficient and positive. And there's another version where you start to wonder what it means to delegate so many tasks.
That's a real philosophical question, and I don't want to be dismissive of it. There's a version of this that's genuinely freeing. You get to spend your cognitive energy on the things that require your judgment, your creativity, your specific expertise, and the rote stuff is handled. That's the optimistic case.
And the more complicated case?
Is that some of that rote stuff is actually how we develop skills and understanding. The junior analyst who builds every spreadsheet themselves is learning something through that process that the person who delegates all spreadsheet work might not be. There's a version of over-delegation that could leave people less capable over time.
That's a nuanced point. It's the same argument that comes up around calculators in schools or GPS navigation. Does using the tool atrophy the underlying skill?
Right. And I think the honest answer is sometimes, in some ways, yes. GPS did erode a lot of people's ability to navigate without it. That's just true. Whether that trade-off is worth it depends on how much you valued that skill and what you do with the time you saved.
And most of us decided GPS was worth it.
Most of us decided GPS was worth it. I think for the kinds of tasks Dispatch is designed for, the answer will usually be the same. The ability to rename 100 files according to a naming convention is not a skill most people are actively trying to cultivate.
Right. It's not a cherished capability that we're mourning the loss of.
Exactly. But it's worth keeping the question in mind as the capability expands. The answer might be more complicated when we're talking about tasks that are less clearly mechanical.
Agreed. I think it's a question that the AI field, and honestly, society more broadly, is going to be working through for a long time. And the fact that it's already being raised in the context of features like Dispatch tells you something about how far this has come. It's no longer theoretical.
Not at all. These are real tools making real changes to how people work right now. The philosophical questions are urgent questions.
Let's come back to Earth for a second. We should probably talk about setup, because one thing that matters a lot for a feature like this is how hard it is to get running. The most powerful tool in the world is useless if you need an IT department to deploy it.
Yeah, and I've been thinking about this. For Dispatch to fulfill its promise, the setup experience on both sides, desktop and mobile, needs to be dead simple. If there's a long configuration process, if you need to install a complicated agent, if there are authentication hurdles every time you use it, that friction will kill the value proposition for a lot of users.
And I think Anthropic knows this. The co-work framing suggests they're thinking about this as a product experience, not just a capability demonstration.
Right. Product experience is everything here. A feature that's technically impressive but clunky to set up will get used by enthusiasts and then kind of fade. A feature that's seamless to start with will become habitual.
And habitual is the goal. The most successful productivity tools are the ones you stop thinking of as tools and just start thinking of as how you do things.
That's exactly right. You don't think, let me use my word processor now. You just think, let me write. The tool disappears. When Claude's contribution to your workflow disappears in that same way, when it becomes just part of how you operate, that's when it's really succeeded.
I also want to just acknowledge the name for a second. Dispatch. It's a good name. It captures something specific about what's happening.
It does. Dispatch has that connotation of sending something out to be handled, like dispatching a unit, dispatching a message. There's a purposefulness to it. You're not just opening an app, you're dispatching Claude to handle something.
And it has that slightly operational feel. Like you're a manager coordinating resources rather than personally doing every task.
Which is the right mental model. You're the one who knows what needs to happen. Claude is the one who makes it happen. The human stays in the role of decision maker and intent setter. the execution layer is handled.
There's something genuinely exciting about that. Because one of the things that creates frustration in modern work is the gap between knowing what you want and having the technical ability to make it happen. Like, I can very clearly picture the document I need to produce. Getting from that mental picture to an actual document involves a whole bunch of steps that have nothing to do with the underlying knowledge or judgment that makes me good at my job.
Right. The implementation overhead, and it's not just individual contributors. Managers and executives face this all the time. They can diagnose a problem clearly, know exactly what needs to be produced to address it, but getting from diagnosis to deliverable is a whole process they often have to delegate to other people. Now, Claude is a delegee who's always available, doesn't need to have things fully explained from scratch, and doesn't have competing priorities.
And can work on it at 2 a.m. if that's when you're thinking about it.
Yeah, that asynchrony is massive. Your phone is awake when you are. Your desktop can now be working even when you're not sitting at it. The limitation used to be that the computer did nothing without input from a human. Now the human can be elsewhere and the work can still happen.
That's a kind of decoupling of human presence from computer productivity that didn't really exist before.
Not in this form, no. There have been batch processing jobs, there have been scripts that run on schedules, but those are rigid, predefined workflows. This is flexible, instruction-driven, responsive to natural language. That's fundamentally new.
All right, I want to give some thought to one more angle before we start to wrap up on this story, which is, what does this mean for Claude as a product, as a brand? Because Cowork and Dispatch seem like a pretty deliberate positioning move.
Yeah, I think you're right. For a while, the conversation around Claude versus other AI assistants was largely about model quality. Which one gives better answers, which one reasons better, which one is more accurate. Those are real distinctions, and they matter. But as the models have all gotten quite good, the product layer, what can you actually do with it? How does it integrate into your life? Becomes the differentiator.
So features like Dispatch are part of Anthropic saying, Claude isn't just a model, it's a product. A thing you build your workflow around.
Exactly. And Cowork is a particularly interesting framing because it's explicitly about sustained, ongoing use. Not one-off queries. Not a thing you go to when you need something specific and then leave. A working environment you inhabit. The name itself implies longevity and relationship.
And if you're truly co-working with Claude, if it has context about your files, your projects, your preferences over time, that relationship gets more valuable the longer it goes on.
That's the flywheel. And it's a defensible position because once someone has set up Dispatch, has their desktop connected, has Claude familiar with their workflow, switching to a different AI assistant has real costs. Not in the way that bad old enterprise software created switching costs through pain and inertia, but in the way that a good long-term employee has value that's hard to replicate elsewhere.
Context is moat.
Context is moat. I like that. Yeah.
Okay, let's also think about what we don't yet know. Because any honest assessment of a new feature has to reckon with the unknowns. What are the questions you have that today's announcement doesn't fully answer?
The big one for me is performance reliability. Like, computer use works. We know it works. But it works at a speed and reliability level that is genuinely impressive for research purposes and early adopters. What I want to understand is how it handles the long tail of weird desktop states. The window that's half off screen. The dialog box that appeared from a background application. The system update notification that blocked the UI. A human navigates those things automatically. Does Claude?
That's the edge case question. How robust is it in the real world versus the clean demo environment?
Right. And I don't think the answer is it always fails because we know it can handle a lot of variability, but there's a question of how often it gets stuck and what happens when it does. Does it fail gracefully? Does it notify you that it ran into a problem and wait for guidance? Or does it proceed down a wrong path?
The error handling story is really important for trust.
Critical. If I send a task and it hits a wall and silently does the wrong thing, that's worse than if it hits a wall, stops, and says, "I ran into something unexpected. Can you clarify?" The second version is fine. The first version erodes trust fast.
The other thing I'd want to understand more about is the question of what's happening with your data in this setup. Your local files are being processed by Claude to execute tasks. What's the data handling story there?
Yeah, that's a real question. Anthropic has been pretty clear in other contexts about their privacy stance. There's an "I don't want my data used for training" option, for example. But for a feature like this, where you're quite literally giving Claude access to your file system, people will reasonably want very explicit clarity about what's observed, what's stored, what's used for what purpose.
And I suspect that's a conversation that will be ongoing as features like this mature. The trust is built incrementally, through demonstrated behavior over time, through clear communication about policies.
Absolutely. And I think the companies that handle that transparency well will be the ones that get the long-term adoption. People will accept a lot in terms of AI access to their environment if they feel like the relationship is honest. They'll resist even useful features if they feel like something is being obscured.
All right, Sam. We've given this one a really thorough workout today. If you had to sum up why dispatch matters, not just as a feature, but as a signal, what would you say?
I'd say it matters because it's one of the clearest examples yet of AI becoming genuinely environmental. Not a tool you pick up when you need it, but a presence that's woven into the space where your work happens. The fact that it's accessible from mobile, that it operates on local files, that it uses natural language, those aren't just convenience features. They're signals about what AI's role in our lives is becoming. It's becoming infrastructure, and dispatch is a good, concrete, real-world example of what that looks like in practice.
Beautifully put. And for me, the thing that sticks is that word you used earlier, delegation. We've always had tools that make us faster at doing things ourselves. Dispatch is about not having to do certain things yourself at all. That's a different category of value.
It really is. Faster is additive. Delegating is multiplicative. And Claude doing work on your behalf while you're on the train, that's genuinely multiplicative.
All right, that is going to do it for today's deep dive on dispatch and Claude Cowork. It's been a really meaty conversation, and I think we've given it the treatment it deserves.
Agreed. There's a lot more to explore here as the product matures and real-world usage patterns emerge. I'd love to revisit this in a few months once we've heard from people who've been using it day to day.
That's on the list. All right, before we sign off, happy tax day again, everyone. May your refunds be large and your audits be non-existent.
Huh. And if you're scrambling this morning, you know who to ask for help.
We probably shouldn't give tax advice on a podcast.
I said ask Claude, not ask us.
Fair enough. All right, thanks as always to Sam for the analysis. Genuinely sharp stuff today. And thank you to everyone listening. We do this every morning so you can start your day with a clear picture of what's happening in the world of Claude and Anthropic. If you've been enjoying the show, tell someone about it. That is genuinely the best way to help us out.
We'll be back tomorrow with whatever the next big thing is. At this pace, it could be anything.
At this pace, exactly. I'm Alex.
I'm Sam.
And this has been Claude Daily. Take care of yourselves out there.